This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yeheyes Wuhib in Washington. Here is what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
This is really very dire situation. I can't stress much how difficult it is.
That's an aid worker who is helping refugees flooding to Sudan from Ethiopia's Tigray region. Details coming up also. Sadiq al-Mahdi's Sudan's last democratically elected prime minister has died of COVID-19. And one of Africa's top football players remembers the legendary Diego Maradona. All these and more ahead on African News Tonight. We start with our top story. Ethiopia's Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed today ordered the nation's army to launch a final offensive against Tigray's leaders in the regional capital Mekele after a deadline for their surrender expired. The Tigray People's Liberation Front rejected the ultimatum and say its forces are resisting the Ethiopian troops. Abiy pledged that great care would be given to protect civilians and to minimize damage to the city. A communications blockade in Tigray has made it difficult to verify the claims of either side. Abiy's government says its operation in Tigray is focused just on certain TPLF leaders. The TPLF, however, says it is a war on the people of Tigray. More than 40,000 people have been displaced in the fighting, which began 3 weeks ago. Many of them have fled to neighboring Sudan. Javansir Hajiyev is a team leader for the aid agency Mercy Corps at a refugee camp clinic in Sudan. He spoke to the Associated Press.
The daily intake of the patients is between 80 to 90. And prevalent diseases, the majority of the diseases we are seeing by number, the highest number is the diarrheal diseases. Second one is the chest infections, and the third one is the malaria. So even the pattern of the diseases show the level of the needs of this patient, the need and the wash services. The diarrheal diseases is the direct result of the poor hygiene. These people don't have access to the clean water and washing materials.
He says the number of patients is rising quickly. The camp now houses more than 8,000 people, although it was intended for 5,000.
Just to imagine if for everything, for literally for everything, starting from your food, ending with your water drinking, ending just to go for the toilet facilities and washing your hand, for everything you depend on somebody else. This is really very dire situation. I can't stress much how difficult it is.
That was Javanshir Hajiyev with Mercy Corps, who is helping refugees from the Tigray region. Cameroon's Ministry of Health says tens of thousands of people living with HIV and AIDS are refusing to enter hospitals for fear of catching the coronavirus. Health workers say if those patients do not get the antiretroviral drugs they need, it can put them at risk. Ahead of World AIDS Day, Cameroon's medics are urging HIV-positive patients to take their medicine, as Moki Edwin Kindeka reports from Yaoundé.
At Yaoundé's Baptist Hospital Etugebe, about 300 people with AIDS listen to speakers and health workers talk about HIV. 19-year-old Nyako Cynthia Njite, who for 5 years has been living with AIDS, says it has been 9 months since they last held a meeting.
We that are positive, we have monthly meetings. We sit together, share ideas, encourage others, people share their success stories. And due to the fact that people cannot meet, it disturbs children from coming together and having the fun they always have. And also, when they come for drugs, we always have counseling session with them. They play with toys. Those things are not more happening.
More disturbingly, Cameroon's health ministry reports that of the 300,000 HIV-positive people in the country who need antiretrovirals, about 60% refuse to visit hospitals because of COVID-19. Sienten Gek is with the Cameroon Baptist Convention Health Services. He says failure to take antiretroviral drugs can weaken the immune systems of people with AIDS.
When the immune system is that weak, every disease that comes to the body is going to infect the body. So you have frequent diarrhea, weight loss, diseases like cryptococcal meningitis and tuberculosis. These are very common opportunistic infections.
Gilbert Tenney of the Cameroon Medical Council says to fill the gap, medics are going to AIDS patients in their homes and giving them a 1 month supply of antiretrovirals.
We need those patients at the hospital to keep on counseling, to provide them with drugs and provide them with any other support. That's why we've come out with what we are calling differentiated service delivery, which has made us to go out to the community in order to assist who cannot come to the hospital.
Health worker Awa Fani says some hospitals in Cameroon are running short of funds for AIDS patients because of the pandemic.
Funding has become limited. Funders are now paying more attention to COVID-19, and so we are asking ourselves, how can we ensure that we distribute resources in an even manner such that we still care for children who are HIV positive while taking care of those who are COVID-19 positive?
Even before the pandemic, Cameroon health officials struggled to get AIDS patients to hospitals for treatment. Cameroon's Ministry of Health says in 2019, 75% of AIDS-infected children died in their first 5 years. The government blames parents who fail to follow up on treatment for their children, while many parents cannot afford transport fees to get them to city hospitals. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
The growing population in Zimbabwe's urban centers have put a demand in housing. Zimbabwe's capital, Harare, has thousands on the waiting list to be allocated land they can buy and build on. Recently, 20 housing cooperatives lost a legal dispute with the city council in the courts. Now, demolitions are impending. Reporter Kudza Zedwashi has more from Harare.
Land in Harare has always been highly disputed. While some of the land belongs to the government and city council, in many cases, people with political connections move in and sell land to desperate homeseekers, essentially becoming land barons. Lorin Mupasiri is with the Combined Harare Residents Association.
The problem with the issue of housing is that it has been politicized too much. And the sad thing is that residents have fallen victim to this. What has happened right now is that some of the residents may have gotten the land through, you know, political lines, and this was not approved by council, and vice versa. Some may have gotten the land from council.
She says while some get their land from council, there are sometimes political interests on the same land, and that results in conflicts. Jacob Mafume is the mayor of Harare.
We are looking into the cases. At the first instance, we are asking government to deal with the issue of land that needs to be arrested and dealt with. So they should advise us how far they are with those land barons before we take any action.
The rainy season is upon Zimbabwe, and impending evictions and plans to demolish houses built on disputed land will leave hundreds of families homeless. But Mafume says the council will be considerate in its next course of action.
Any process that we do from here will be a humane process. We shall look at whether it is critical to do anything at this point in time or to first look at alternatives.
Mupasiri says affected residents have a right to approach the courts, and the Combined Harare Residents Association will support people if they choose that path. And she says the association will continue to engage authorities and emphasize the residents' rights to shelter. In the past, some residents have been lucky enough to have the courts rule that since development on the land was done, the council should move in to regularize the area. For VOA, this is Kudzai Shinamashe from Harare.
We have this developing news from Zimbabwe. 40 miners are trapped after a gold mine collapsed in Bindoura, 70 kilometers north of Harare. The French news agency AFP reports the miners were working inside the Ran gold mine when a shaft caved in. The mine was no longer officially operating. At least 6 miners have been pulled out and taken to a hospital. Mining is a major source of foreign currency for Zimbabwe, and gold accounts for 60% of exports. Small-scale miners in Zimbabwe often operate illegally in dangerous decommissioned mines. They do that to avoid selling their gold to state-owned buyers, which only pays them 55% in foreign currency. The remaining 45% is paid in Zimbabwe dollars. Sadiq al-Mahdi, Sudan's last democratically elected prime minister, has died of COVID-19 in a hospital in the United Arab Emirates. He was 84. Al-Mahdi served as prime minister of Sudan from 1966 to 1967 before a group of military officers led by Jafar el-Nimeri took over. He later became prime minister for a second time in 1986. However, in 1989, he was overthrown by an Islamist-backed coup that brought longtime autocrat Omar al-Bashir to power. Al-Mahdi's Umma Party remained the largest party during Bashir's reign, and Mahdi remained an influential figure even after Bashir was toppled in April 2019. Sudan's current transitional administration, which governs under the power-sharing deal between the military and civilian groups, has declared 3 days of mourning in al-Mahdi's honor. Football fans around the world are reacting to the death of the former Argentine captain, Diego Maradona, who died yesterday. Emmanuel Amoniki is the former Tanzania's men's national football team coach and a one-time African Footballer of the Year. He once played against Maradona in the 1994 World Cup. Emmanuel Amoniki spoke to reporter Mike Mbonyi about the man known as one of the greatest football players ever.
Well, as a kid growing up and watching the World Cup, I think the first time I saw Maradona was the Mexico World Cup. And after that, you know, everybody tried to emulate and become Maradona. And then growing up and then having the privilege in 94 to play against him in the same group in the World Cup with Nigeria, I think for me, it's a great team. And Maradona, like, commands a lot of respect in the team, and his teammates, they all respect him, they believe in him. And what else we can say is just to say God bless him for the talent that God gave him, and also God keep his soul. May his soul rest in peace.
Do you think Africa can produce a player like Maradona in the future?
Well, Maradona is Maradona. I don't think there will ever be any player that will look alike like Maradona. It's only Messi that looks like Maradona, but Messi is different, Maradona is different. I think everybody come into this world with different, unique and different way of doing things. And it's a privilege that during our time, we have been able to watch him and witness what he's capable of doing as a player and what he has done as a player.
That was Emmanuel Amoniki, the former Tanzanian men's national football team coach. He was speaking with reporter Mike Mbonyi on the phone from Spain. Farmers in Botswana's Chobe region have struggled to protect their crops from elephants, but a local conservation group has developed a toolkit to safely repel the giant mammals and prevent farmers from killing them. Mokandisi Dube reports from Chobe, Botswana.
Botswana's Chobe region has nearly 33,000 elephants, a quarter of the country's total, which accounts for nearly half of all elephants in Africa. But while the growing population is a good sign for conservation and attracts tourists, the elephants are a nightmare for farmers like Chibea Lungwani, who says they ravage his crops.
At the time when I started planting, it was very, very, I would say it was much tight due to animals were just coming rapidly and coming to destroy. The government was trying, but it was not much enough to so that I can sustain and even to make life out of it.
Mostly elephants, they will come in time and again to come and destroy it.
Farmers try to drive away elephants by burning pots, burning hot peppers, or in some cases, killing them. Conservation group Elephant Without Borders rescues orphaned calves but wanted to prevent the deaths. So the group built a toolkit that uses the animal senses to repel them safely, according to Elephant Without Borders' Tempe Adams.
The whole toolkit is, when we say senses, we mean we're targeting a different sense of the elephant, just like we have. So smell, touch, sound and taste. So it's a lot of different techniques that combined make one big toolkit to scare elephants away.
The device called Elesense is solar-powered to make it easier for farmers in remote areas with poor electricity. It uses an organic oil repellent, motion sensor alarms and lights, and electric wires. Farmer Lungwani says it has helped save his crops.
Ever since I put the electric lines there, I haven't had any damage up to now. I'm just producing very well. So now they don't come and disturb. Immediately they can approach, but they get shocked, then they move away.
So far, close to 100 farmers in the Chobe region are using Elesense. From the feedback, most now prefer it as the traditional methods are not 100% effective. Botswana has an elephant population of more than 130,000, making it likely that more farmers will adopt the new device. Mqondisi Dube for VOA News in Chobe, Botswana.
U.S. President-elect Joe Biden plans to nominate Linda Thomas-Greenfield to be U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. Thomas-Greenfield is well known in international diplomatic circles. Over her 35-year career as a U.S. diplomat, she has had long postings in Switzerland, Pakistan, Kenya, the Gambia, Nigeria, and Jamaica. She was U.S. Ambassador to Liberia and the U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Africa Affairs. Before the November 3rd election, our colleague Shaka Sali spoke with Linda Thomas-Greenfield about U.S. policy in Africa. Thomas-Greenfield said more and more world powers are engaging with Africans as the continent shifts towards more sustainable development.
All of us are seeing that shift gradually happen. And I think with the resources that are obviously available on the continent, and among those resources are the people resources. Africa is the youngest continent in terms of its people and its population, and we're seeing those young people begin to take more control over the narrative of what is happening on the continent. I think we have not seen the results of that shift. But when we see the results of that shift, it's going to be dramatic, and I think it will have a major impact on Africa. Africa is the last frontier. I say that all the time. There are no opportunities anywhere else in the world like there are on the African continent. And I think we're seeing it around the globe. Everyone is seeing it. And I think the important thing is that Africans themselves benefit from that last frontier.
Thomas-Greenfield has worked for Republican presidents and for Democratic presidents and said there is a shared appreciation in both parties for the importance of Africa.
I'm a career professional, and so I have worked in every administration, and where the policies fall in both administrations, I've always carried out those policies and carried them out as a loyal bureaucratic professional. But I think every administration, whether you argue it's strategic or that it's paternalistic, both administrations have looked at Africa as a partnership and have looked at ways to address issues in Africa.
That is Linda Thomas-Greenfield. She spoke with VOA Shaka Sali in an interview conducted before the November 3rd U.S. presidential election. Following President-elect Biden's announcement that Thomas-Greenfield will be part of his cabinet, she tweeted, "My mother taught me to lead with the power of kindness and compassion to make the world a better place. I've carried that lesson with me throughout my career in foreign service, and if confirmed, will do the same as ambassador to the United Nations. And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voanews.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbili Abbaro, thank you again for tuning in and choosing The Voice of America.
Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you the biggest stories of the day. Our global correspondents report the news objectively and comprehensively, keeping you informed about important world events. International Edition provides analysis from the most seasoned experts around the world to put the day's events into context to better understand what's happening and how it may affect you. Listen to International Edition Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 Universal Time on the Voice of America or your local affiliate. You can also listen to the show on demand by visiting the program page at voanews.com or by subscribing to the show wherever you get your podcasts. VOA's International Edition, your go-to source for accurate, comprehensive, and objective news.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hello, I'm Peter Clote, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's weekend Africa show that provides news, features, and entertainment news, as well as sports about Africa and the world. Tune in, and you will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 15.